Okay, we are on Chav Zayin Amud Beis, and we are at the two dots, which is three lines before it gets before it starts getting wide. We're at the two dots. So the Gemara was talking about Plaga Mincha. If you're able to daven, when you're able to daven Mincha Mariv, in terms of Plaga Mincha. So now the Gemara is going to talk about is going to say an incredible story that we're going to get to tonight regarding Mariv and if it's a Chovin or a Shus, and it's just good stuff coming up. I'm Rav Chiya Baravin, Rav Sali Shal Shabbos, Rav Shabbos. Rav would daven Mariv on Shabbos during Plag Mincha, and Rav Yoshia Matzi Shal Matzi Shabbos from Shabbos. And Rav Yoshia would daven Shabbos afternoon when it was still after Plag, but it was not yet nightfall, he would daven Mariv. It was Shabbos afternoon. Rav Tzali Shabbos, Rav Shabbos. Rav would daven Shabbos on Friday. He would daven again Friday afternoon. He would daven Mariv already before it was nightfall after Plaga Mincha. So Gemara asks, Omer Kedush Alakos, Oino Omer Kedush Alakos. Fine, so he daven. Davening is only Drabanan. What about Kiddush? Yeah, Kiddush is a Doraisa. So if he would finish davening Friday afternoon, he'd finish Mariv, he gets home, it's still light time outside. So is he able to make... was he able to make Kiddush at that time, or did he have to wait until nightfall to make Kiddush? So the Gemara answers, Tashma, Dom Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, Mespal Adam Shal Shabbos Barav Shabbos, Varma Kedush Alakos, that a person is able to daven Mariv on Friday afternoon after Plag HaMincha, and while it's still day outside, he's able to make Kiddush Alakos, and that's what we do, we find, especially now that we change the clocks. A lot of people daven, they make early Shabbos, we get home, it's still light outside, we make Kiddush, and it's not a problem, we're able to do that. Just a very important thing to remember, which many, myself especially, people forget, is that you have to remember to say Kriya Shema after it gets dark, because Kriya Shema is a Doraisa. So you're able to eat the meal, you're able to finish eating the meal while it's still daytime, technically outside, but you do have to remember to say Kriya Shema after it gets dark. Vilchus al kavasi, and that is what the halach is, that you're able to do that. Rabbi Yoshia matzi shal matzi Shabbos b'Shabbos. And the second part was that Rabbi Yoshia would daven on matzi Shabbos b'Shabbos. He would daven Mariv on Shabbos afternoon. So Omer Avdallah al-Kos, Ein Omer Avdallah al-Kos. Was he able to make Avdallah at that time or not? So again, we're not talking about if he would do, if he would light a candle, or if you make a Bari B'nei V'Samim. That for sure you're not able to do. But are you able to make Avdallah al-Kos? If, again, Shabbos afternoon comes, it's after Plag, so are you able to now make Havdalah at that time? Again, just making it on the coast, or you're not able to do it. So the Gemara says, Tashma, Da'am Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Mespal Adam, Shal Matzi Shabbos, B'Shabbos, V'am Rav Dalah Kos, and you are able to do that. But they say halachically you should not do that, because we're afraid that people are going to mess up and make a mistake. So they say, like, if it's for a tirchi yaseira, you're able to do it. But I think that we pass that really you're not supposed to, even though halachically, technically, you're able to do it, but you're not supposed to make a havdalah ala kos Shabbos afternoon after Plag. You should wait, really, ideally, you should wait until nightfall. I'm Rav Zera, I'm Rav Asi, I'm Rav Elazar, I'm Rav Chanina, I'm a Rav. So he tells a story now. Betzad Amud Zeh, Hispal Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Shal Shabbos, Rav Shabbos. On the side of this pillar, Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi used to daven Erev Shabbos. He would daven Mariv on Friday afternoon after Plag HaMincha. So Kiyasa Ula Amar Betzad. So he says he got the story wrong. Betzad Tamara Hava. It was not next to a pillar, but it was next to a date tree. Below Betzad Amud Hava. It was not next to the pillar. Below Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi Hava. It was not Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi or Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yossi. It was, you got the first name. You got the net second name right. You didn't get the first name right. It was Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yossi. Velo shel Shabbos b'Rav Shabbos havin. It was not Friday afternoon, and he was davening Gesundheit. He was not davening Mariv Friday afternoon after Plag. Elo shel Matzah Shabbos b'Shabbos havin. He was davening Matzah Shabbos. He was davening Mariv Shabbos afternoon after Plag HaMincha. So basically, you had all parts of the story. You got the time wrong. You got the where he was standing wrong, and you got which tefillah he was doing. You got that wrong also. Baruch Atah and Machalom Shal Kolni B'Dvaro. Rabbi Silber's not listening to this recording. There's no way he is. But if he was, he would recognize that drinking a cold soda is so much better than anything else. Okay. Tfilos Erev Ein Lakeva. So then the next part of the Mishnah said that Tfilos, that Mariv has no time to daven, meaning that we understand that to mean that you can daven Mariv all night long. So my Ein Lakeva, what does it mean? It's a very strange wording to say that Ein Lakeva, that we are, one, two, two, four, we're about like seven lines before it gets in the middle wide lines. We're right by the two dots. So my Ein Lakeva, what does it mean that it doesn't have a set time? If you want to say that it means that you could daven Mariv the whole night, Lizni tefilas erev kol ha'layla. Just say that davening marav you're able to do all night. So what does it mean that it doesn't have a set time? Why doesn't it just say that you could daven all night long? So Gemara says, Kamanda Amar Tfilas Arvis Rishos, because there's an argument if Tfilas Arvis is a Rishos or if it's a Chov. Is it something that if you want to do it, you could do it? And the other one is if it is an obligation to do it. So there's a machlokas what to do. So the Gemara is saying that we are saying, like the man Dhamma that says that it's Rishos, Dham Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Tfilas Arvis, Rabbi Gamliel Lom Rechov, Rabbi Shmuel Lom Rishus, that it's either it's something that if you want to do, you could do it. Others say that it's a chov to do it. So by saying Ein L'keva, we're saying that it is optional if you want to do it. Because if it was a set time, if we would have said that Marv is all night long, that would have indicated more that it's obligatory. By saying that Ein L'keva doesn't have a set time, that's really indicating that it's more of a Rishus, which again doesn't mean that if you want to daven Marv, you could daven Marv, and if you don't want to daven, you don't daven Marv. It means if there's something else that comes up, if there's another mitzvah that had come up, and you have to do that, then you're able to do that instead of davening Marv. But a person can't just decide now that when the shir is over at 9 o'clock, that they're just going to go home. They're not going to bother davening Marv. Amar Abai, halacha kedibri Omer Chov. The halacha is like the one that says that it's an obligation to daven Marv. But Rava Amar, halacha kedibri Omer Rishos, that the halacha is that it's like the one that says Rishos. Okay, now we're up to a incredible story, which is really one of the most famous stories, I think, in all of Shas. Tan Rabbanan. There was a story with a Talmud that came before Rabbi Yeshua. Amar lo, tefilas arvis rishus achova, is mariv is it something that if you want to do, you could do it, or is it obligatory? Amar lo rishus, and he says that it's if you want to do it, it's a rishus. You don't have to do it, it's not obligatory. Balef Rabbi Gamliel, it came from Rabbi Gamliel, who was the Nasi. Rabbi Yeshua was the Av Bezdin, and Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi. Amar lo, and this person asked Rabbi Gamliel, Tfilas Arvis Rishus or Chova? Is it a Rishus or is it a Chova? Do I have to daven? Amar lo Chova. He says it's obligatory. Amar lo. So this student says to Rabbi Gamliel, Valor Rabbi Yeshua Amar li Rishus. Rabbi Yeshua said to me that it's not a Chova. It's just a Rishus. If you want to do it, you could do it. It's an elective. So Amar lo. So Rabbi Gamliel said to him, we're going to play a little game here. Wait until the shield bearers come into the base medrash tomorrow, and then ask the question again. So when the shield bearers came in, again meeting the Talmid Chachamim, and I heard that the reason why they call them shield bearers is because normally when you think of a warrior, you think of a spear, because someone is coming to they're a warrior, they're coming to attack someone. It says that Bali Trace means that they had a shield, because Talmid Chachamim they're interested in getting to the truth. They're not interested in attacking someone else. They're just interested in defending Torah. They want to get to whatever the MS is, whatever the truth is in Torah. So that's why they call them shield bearers. So Kishenichnus Bali Trace, when the shield bearers came into the base medrash, Amar Ashal Vashal, so the student stood up and he asked Rabbi Gamliel, Tfilas Arvis Rishus or Chova? Is davening Marv, is that a Rishus or is that a Chova? Amar Lehem Rabbi Gamliel Chova, so Rabbi Gamliel said it's obligatory. Amar Lehem Rabbi Gamliel Chacham, so Rabbi Gamliel asked the Chachamim there, Klum Yesh Adam Shecholik B'davar Zeh, do any of you disagree with me? I say it's obligatory, do any of you disagree with me? So Amar Lehem Rabbi Yeshua, so Rabbi Yeshua, who earlier had said that it was a Rishus, it's not obligatory. So Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Rishus said, Lav, no, we all agree with you that it's a Chova, that you say that Marv is obligatory, we agree with you that Marv is obligatory. So Amar Lo, so Rabbi Gamliel said to him, V'alo b'shmecha Amar li Rishus, I heard in your name that you said that davening Marv is a Rishus. So Amar Le, so Rabbi Gamliel says to Rabbi Yeshua, Yeshua Amar Ragochav Yeidibacha, stand up. Okay, they were all sitting in front of him. Rabbi Gamliel was giving shir. They were all sitting in front of him. So he tells Rabbi Yeshua, stand up. Okay, we're gonna have a little trial court right now to find out what's going on. Amar Rabbi Yeshua Al Raglov Amar. So Rabbi Yeshua stood up and he said, Amale ani chai v'hu meis, if I was alive and the person who had asked the question of me yesterday, if he was dead, so then Yachol Achai LaHachich Hasameis, so then I could contradict him. I could say, yeah, no one disagrees with you, Rabbi Gamliel. But Va'achshav Shani Chai V'Hu Chai. But now that I'm alive and he's alive, we're both standing here. Heich Yachol Achai LaHachich Hasachai. How can one person who's living contradict another person who's living? I can't sit here and tell him that I didn't say it. He heard me say it. I did say it. So yeah, Rabbi Gamliel, I disagree with you. You say that it's obligatory. I say that it's a rishus. So Hayrang Gamliel Yoshi Vidarish, so Rabbi Gamliel was not happy about this because he didn't feel that it was right that Rabbi Yeshua was disagreeing with him. And maybe he was also disagreeing that he was upset that he didn't fess up that he had gone against him. I'm not sure about that. But Hayyam Gamliel Shevidar, so Rabbi Gamliel was sitting giving shir, Rabbi Yeshua Omer al Raglav, and Rabbi Yeshua is being forced to stand. So all the other students are sitting down in front of Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Yeshua is being forced to stand up with the entire shir that's going on. So in those days when they would have, when someone would give shir, they would always have a maturgaman. They would have an interpreter who would, either because if the person giving shir wasn't loud enough, which generally in my case is not a problem, or if maybe the maturgaman was someone that could translate to the people that were there, like meaning the person who was giving shir was on a very, very high level, and the students wouldn't be able to understand him. So he would give it over to the maturgaman, and the maturgaman would then be able to break it down into more basic English, or for lack of a better word.
Summary.
Yeah, could be maybe a summary of some sort. So so the people all saw Rabbi Yeshua, all the other Talmidim saw Rabbi Yeshua that was standing. So they said to the maturgaman, they said, stop. Giving shir over. Don't continue giving shir. What he's saying, Vamad. And the maturgaman stopped giving the shir over. So what happened? Amri, so the Talmidei Chacham, the students there said, Ad kama na'atzrei v'nezel. How long is Rabbi Gamliel going to go on distressing Rabbi Yeshua? Why? Because Rosh Hashanah ishtak itzarei, there's a story that took place. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah brings down that Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel disagreed as to what day Rosh Chodesh was. So, and at that time, the Gemara, I think the Mishnah says that Rabbi Gamliel tells Rabbi Yeshua, I want you to come, you know, I want you to come to me on the day that you think is Yom Kippur, but I say is not. I want you to come to me with your wallet and with your walking stick and with your shoes on. So he says, like, to show that Rabbi Gamliel is saying, I want to show that you're wrong and I'm right. So that was a story that happened in Rosh Hashanah. But Rabbi Yeshua held that it was Yom Kippur. But out of respect for the Rav, for the Nasi, he listened to what his Rebbe said. And the Bukharos, Maisa Drab Tsare, and then there was a story that took place with the Bukhar, with Rab Tzadok, that there's a halacha about a Kohen being able to give testimony about a blemish, if a blemish happened accidentally in his own animal or not. And there was a disagreement between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel. And again, they disagreed about it, and Rabbi Gamliel exerted his authority over Rabbi Yeshua. And also, Hachanami Tzarin, here also, he's making Rabbi Yeshua stand up because they disagreed if Marav is a Rishus or Fitzchova. He said, Tan Vinabde, let's get rid of him. Let's take Rabbi Gamliel down from being the position of the Nasi, and we're going to replace him with someone else. So the Gemara says, "My Nokimle, who should take Rabbi Gamliel's place? Nokimle Rabbi Yeshua. If we're going to ask that Rabbi Yeshua should take his place, you can't do that. Why? Because Baal Maisahu, because he's the person that was involved in the incident, and I think they say that because it would distress Rabbi Gamliel more to know that the person who was his antagonist was the one that was taking his place, which goes to show you how incredible it is that Rabbi Gamliel, in other words, they still held Rabbi Gamliel was a very, very important, big Talmud Chacham. Just they didn't like the way that he was acting, but they were so sensitive still to say that we can't have his main antagonist being the person that takes his place, because that's going to be adding insult to injury, that you're going to put Rabbi Yeshua in his place. Nokmin Rabbi Kiva, so maybe we should put Rabbi Kiva there, who was also a big Talmud Chacham, said you can't do that. Why? Dilma Anishlei Delesle Tzchus Avos, because maybe Rabbi Gamliel is going to cause that Rabbi Kiva is going to get punished because he doesn't have Tzchus Avos, because Rabbi Kiva did not come from a chash of a family, he had a very simple background, and when they were afraid, now again, and not that Rabbi Gamliel was going to was going to curse out Rabbi Kiva. That's not what the worry was. The worry was that because Rabbi Gamliel was so distressed that he had been taken down from the Nazi, so that would be a notch against whoever it is that was taking his place. So the person would have to have Schos Avos to protect him, and Rabbi Kiva would not have that. Ela Nokmil Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Let's put Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah up. Dehu Chacham, because he's a smart person. Vuhu Asher, and he's very wealthy. Vuhu Asir La Ezra, and he is a 10th generation from Ezra. So he has smarts, he has wealth, and he has Yichus. And what does that help? So Hu Chacham, he's smart. The Makshile Mefarikle, that if anyone asks him a question, he's going to be able to answer it. Vuhu Asher, and he's wealthy. What is that important? The Islay Lafluche Lebe Kesar Afu Azul Falach. That if, let's say, someone has to go deal with the Caesar, you know, to deal with the government, he's a wealthy person, so he's not going to be intimidated by being around wealth, and he's going to be able to go and defend whatever position he needs to take in the government. Vuhu Asher La Ezra. Why is that important? That he was a 10th generation descendant from Ezra. The Islay Schosavos Lamatzi Anishle. That he has Schosavos that again, that the fact that Rabbi Gamliel is distressed, it's not going to come back to be a problem. That Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is going to be protected. So, Asav Amulei. So they came to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Nichalei Lamar de Lahavi Resh Masifta. Do you want to become? Is it good for you? Do you want to become the head of the Masifta? Do you want to head everything up? So Amar Lahu Ezel Imlach Ba'anshe Beis. He said to them, even though this was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's dream to become the, he wanted to be the Nasi. But when they came to him, he said, I can't make this decision on my own. It's going to affect the people of my house. I have to talk it over with my household. So Azav Imlach Bidvisayhu, so he went and he spoke with his wife. Armalay, and she said to him, we're turning to Chav Chesam Ad Aleph now. Dilma Ma'avrinlach, maybe they're going to remove you from your position. So you're not going to be Nasi very long. Armalah, he said to her, Lishtamish Inish Yomachada Bakasa Demokra. It's better that a person should have a very expensive, fancy glass cup that he's able to use for one day. Lamacha Litfra, and the next day let it break. But at least he's going to have it for that one day. So let me be the Nasi, even if I'm only the Nasi for a day, but at least I'll have that. I'll have that memory. You know, better to have loved than lost than to have never loved at all. But he's saying, like, you know, if I would become the Nasi, I would always have that, even if they end up taking me down from that position. So then she said to him, Laslach Chivarsa, you don't have any white hairs in your beard, because remember, Sugmar says, Ahu Yoma Bartem Nisrei Shnei Hava. That day, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was 18 years old. Ischar Shle Nisan, and a miracle took place. Vahadu Le Tam Nisrei Dari Chivarsa. And 18 rows of hair, he had 18 rows of white hair that grew in his beard. And this is a famous saying that we have by the Seder every year. Hanu Tekam Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Hare Ani Kivem Shim Shana. I was like I was 70 years old. Lo Vem Shim Shana, but not that I was 70 years old. He was really only 18 years old. And then we all learned, you know, when we were younger in school, and we all learned that he was 18 years old and his hair turned white overnight. And it was a great nace that took place. So, what happened? So right now, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, is now been made the Nasi. So who to come? I'm sorry. So Tana that day. Also, Hayom Sukul L'Shomer Pesach. That day, they removed the doorkeeper. They had a bouncer. Rabbi Gamliel used to have a bouncer that was in the plate in front of the Beis Medrash, and he would say, "V'nitna Lemrshus V'Talmidim L'Kanes." He said that everyone is able to come into the Beis Medrash now. Shohayir Rabbi Gamliel Machruz Omer, because Rabbi Gamliel used to announce and say, "Kol Talmid Shein Tocha Kavaro Lo Yikanes the Beis Medrash." That any student whose inside is not like his outside, meaning if he doesn't have a pure soul inside, he didn't want just fakers that were coming into the Beis Medrash. It had to be people that really were interested in learning. Ahu Yoma Itasu Kama Safsali, and that day they added many benches. Rabbi Yochanan, Pliga bar Rabbi Yosef ben Dostoy, Rabbanan. There's an argument between Rabbi Yosef ben Dostoy and Rabbanan how many benches they added. Chad Amar Itosu Arba Me'asafsuli. One said that they added 400 benches. Chad Amar Sheva Me'asafsuli. The other one says that they added 700 benches, which a lot of times the Gemara uses exaggerations when it's talking about, when it uses these not 400 rows, 700 rows. There's probably somewhat of an exaggeration going on here. But regardless, they added many, many benches on that day. So Havakachal Shadaitid Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Gamliel was very upset about that. He said to himself, Amar Dilmachas Vishalom Anati Torah Yisrael. Maybe he saw how many students were coming into the Beis Medrash now, so he thought to himself, maybe I stopped people from learning all these years. So Achvulei B'chamei, so he had a dream. Chavsrei Chivurei Demaya Kamta, and they showed him in the dream that they showed him a white pitcher that was filled with ash. So they were showing him that no, that really these people are not worthy students to come in. It was just one more line, Velohi, but it really was not the case. Hahili Otsve de Aitehu de Achsvule. Really, in Shemayim, they wanted to put his mind at ease to make him feel better. But the reality is that it seems that Rabbi Gamliel was not right by not allowing people to come into the Beis Medrash. And that's why there were so many people that came in. Okay, we'll stop here.